And I'm presenting you like a new thing, something that challenges common wisdom. And in particular, it's a way to tolerate keyloggers. I assume that all of you know what keyloggers are. For those of you who don't know that, basically they are little pieces of software that they just try to eavesdrop like all the user activity. They are quite nasty because they attack the principal asset of users. And also they're quite pervasive because they've been adopted for monitoring software, for malware, worms. So I say that they are kind of a nice problem like to deal with. Standard approaches try to either prevent them or detect them. My concern is that that may not be always possible, simply because to prevent something, most of the time we need to deploy a new system with new features. And detection also that can run on top of existing systems has the disadvantage of basically like incurring most of the time in false or in false positives and in false negatives. Also, an important point that is that even if I detect, even if a user is detecting that on his laptop there is a keylogger, well, he may not be able to remove it. And that can be a headache because maybe like the user is in dire need like to use the laptop and he simply knows that whatever he's going to do, he's going to have like his information stolen. So we decided, let's try to do something different. Let's try to brainwash our common wisdom. What if I have to live with that? What if, like, we have to assume that the keylogger is there and we have to use the laptop no matter what? Well, in this case, I mean, like, how can we possibly do something like that? I mean, like, doing that with a keylogger would mean, well, basically, like, being sure that the keylogger is getting all the data that I'm inputting, like, into the system. So how actually can this, like, an idea that is worth of some work? Well, there is an intuition, there is an idea that is quite simple. Basically, like if a keylogger is eavesdropping all the user activity, well, that means that the user activity is what the keylogger is going for. So just imagine that the user activity is just that simple curve over there. I'm not going to tell you what the curve represents. Just assume that that is the information that the keylogger is aiming for. Our idea is to introduce some noise on top of it. Obviously, we will need to exfiltrate it because, I mean, like otherwise, the internal application would receive also some gibberish, and we would like to avoid that. The real important thing is that if we're able like, to generate well-crafted noise, what we can have is actually a keylogger just receiving that as an input. So, in this example, where the important information was the shape of a curve, in this case, we see that the curve is completely flattened just because like, the noise was generated in a particular manner. So is that possible? I mean, like, I just used abstract concepts, so we don't know it already. Well, there are some scientific and technical challenges, obviously. Scientific challenges are what is noise? And that depends on what is the user activity. We're kind of lucky because, like in the context of keyloggers, user activity are keystrokes, the timing of the keystrokes, but we will better see that later. Also, there are another scientific challenge, the fact that the user activity is not predictable. How am I supposed to generate some noise if I don't know in advance what the user activity will look like? So the intuition is that we will need like a reactive approach. Then, obviously, we have to face technical challenges because, I mean, it's kind of difficult to do that on an existing system because we're going to poke like into the internals of the Windows architecture. How can we do it in our best manner? And how can we be sure? Can we be sure that actually the keyloggers will not get the exfiltrated data? So let's try to address the science first. That is quite more interesting. Well, as I told you, like user activity can be represented in terms of keystrokes because this is the information the keylogger is looking for. So keystrokes can be defined, user activity can be defined in terms of keystroke dynamics. And for those of you who don't know what these things are, basically are real measurements of user activity. So for instance, we have flight time, that is like the time between two different keystrokes. We may have dwell time, so the time for which like the key is pressed. And obviously, since we are dealing with a thread that is a keylogger that is interested in the content of the keystrokes, we add a new measurement, a new feature that is actually the value, the scan code value. So now you have all the elements to understand what our approach is about. Our approach is about exposing to the keylogger a preset keystroke dynamics. So basically, we artificially generate some keystrokes. And what we do in order like to hide them in plain sight is to generate bogus keystrokes. Obviously, in order like to not expose at all any information, we need to do it adaptively. I'll make like an example, like for each of a keystroke dynamics features. For instance, I would like to keep the rate the same because I don't want, like, in case the user is using his laptop in that particular moment, to see a spike in the rate of keystrokes. An intelligent keylogger could actually infer that in that time instant, something nasty happened. That means, like, for him, that the user was inputting some data. At the same time, I would like to keep the dwell time of all the keystrokes of the buggies like at the same level of the ones that are inputted by the user. Otherwise, again, the keylogger would have like some ground to tell real and dummy keystrokes apart. Another thing that is important is the scan code value. Imagine, for instance, just for the sake of example, that we are implementing like dummy noisy key that just injects a letter A's continuously. What if the user in that moment is just typing his credit card numbers? Well, in that case, a keylogger would actually like see that as something different and would, I mean, infer without any problem doing that, that those numbers were actually like real inputs. So what do we want to do is to generate like noise, keeping like the amount of symbols the same. So basically, if I'm injecting like 5 A's, I want to inject 5 B's. And in another moment, I have a user that is inputting like the number of his credit card, I would like to decrease the generation of numbers for that particular amount of time. So as you can see, like, it's not that easy, and we had like to develop a model that is able like to embody like the fact that we need a reactive approach, and the generation needs to be adaptive. So the scientific challenges were not the only ones, because like we had to deal also with the technicalities of this problem. Basically, that there is no safe way to exfiltrate keystrokes. So what we did is studying a bit more what the architecture of Windows was like, and we identified what we call event channel. That is like a channel that starts just outside the kernel of Windows and goes directly into the application. And it's this one here, as you can see, over here. So I also highlighted, but it doesn't, in gray here, the data structures that keyloggers actually use to eavesdrop data. And those are the only ones. And there is a specific reason why we can be sure that there are not others. The class of keyloggers that we are targeting in our work are user space keyloggers, and those are 95% of all the keyloggers out there. They're really dangerous because like, they don't need any permission to be installed and to be executed. For instance, they have been used also, I don't know if you're aware of malware Zeus. Zeus embodied like keylogging functionalities, and obviously they were using like this data structures because they do exist. APIs documented that allow a user space program to access all the keystrokes that are being inputted like into the system without any issue. Some of you may say that actually, like, how can we be sure that actually a keylogger is not doing the same thing that we do, but is like trying to exfiltrate or trying to access the keystrokes after they've been exfiltrated? Well, while developing our technique, we noticed that by doing that, by deploying our system, we were triggering like basically all the antiviruses that we had installed. So we have we're confident, but actually, like, if a malicious keylogger were aware of our approach and wanted to do something, well, it would trigger the antivirus. So, yeah. So last but not least, performance evaluation. That was pretty interesting because in any technique, whenever like we develop a new technique, we're interested like in the override that actually we impose to the user. And this was even more interesting because in order to make the whole thing work, we had to adopt a sliding window approach. Why that? Because if we wouldn't do that, the real activity of a user would get lost. The reason is pretty simple. If I'm injecting a high rate of keystrokes as part of a dummy noise, I have no way to distinguish whether keystroke was real or not. And the only way to do that is to actually like keep all of them like in a window and flash a window, all the keystrokes inside a window at the same time. And obviously, we could adopt different policies. We could increase this window and just flash it keep it like large. So we had to flash it like less often by doing that, since the real keystrokes are there and are waiting to be delivered to the intended user application, the latency was increasing. Likewise, the CPU load obviously was decreasing because there was less activity imposed into the system. An interesting fact, what we can get like from the takeaway of this chart is that to keep the latency low enough to have a user assume that he's dealing with a real-time application, we could impose like to the system. We managed to impose to the system at most 20% CPU load on top of existing one. So this is pretty much it. I really invite you to read the paper because we also evaluated the correctness of our approach. We also tested we tested the correctness against a data set of 51 different subjects. And well, we also introduced like a new privacy model that relies on existing terminology and methodology, but this is the first time that it's being like adopted to keystroke dynamics as something that needs to be protected. Because until now, keystroke dynamics have only been used like to authenticate users. So thank you for your attention, and done.